here on December 3rd, 2008. Who can believe it? At 1 p.m., we have Maureen Sherub on the only show on radio about telephone sourcing. So, if you have a problem sourcing your candidates, call in and ask Maureen what you should do. It's free advice. What more can you want? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Now, down to business. Yesterday, on December 2nd, 2008, on the recommendation of Miss Amy Beth Hale, the researchgoddess.com, I was reading the blog of my good friend, Maren Hogan. Her blog is called Marinated.com. Now, that's a cute name, but it's hard to spell. And hard to spell is hard to tell. And that's no good. But anyway, my friend, Maren Hogan, had a nice article there about branding yourself on social media. And I want you all to read it because it's really good. But you know what? After I read it, I felt kind of cranky. And you know why? Because I don't like it when people use words in ways that don't make sense at all, at least to me. And here's my example. Why on earth is everybody suddenly using the word branding? All you hear is branding, 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 day and night. It's coming out of my ears already. But to the ordinary guy, branding doesn't mean anything. Let me ask you this. What's the matter with public image? Doesn't that make just a little more sense? Or public profile? Isn't that just a little easier to understand? I think so, but nobody cares about me, do they? Or I wouldn't have to complain all the time. And Maren, my good friend, as I said, she has a lot of good points in that article, and I encourage you all to read it. But you know what? There was something else in there I didn't like. She called me a talent acquisition professional. She called me and you a talent acquisition professional. Now, where on earth did that come from? Is that what you get? I want to know. Is that what you get from going to all those conferences? You can't call a spade a spade? You know what it made me feel like? You know, it made me feel like a custodian. A custodian. And you know why? Because that's the most famous case of somebody trying to glorify his title with a little false dignity. That's the elevation of a janitor into a custodian. And Amy Beth Hale tells me that really at her school they called him a sanitary engineer. I don't care. It's the exact same thing, as phony as a $3 bill. Now, you know what I call myself? I call myself a headhunter. And don't you dare call me a talent acquisition professional ever again. I won't stand for it. Because, Maren, you know, you've got a brand, too. You try to position yourself as a breath of fresh air. And you are, dear. You are. So why bury yourself in a phony term like talent acquisition professional? Now, I might have to use that term in the future myself, only because it's so ridiculous. I gotta love it, eh? But anyone who uses it for real, I feel sorry for him. I pity the fool. But wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? Just by coincidence, we have as our guest today a guy who doesn't call himself a recruiter. Oh, no, that's not good enough for him. He calls himself a pipeline generation specialist. I know. It's unbelievable. But look, the guy's got some guts. He came here today so we can challenge him. We got to give him a little slack anyway. You know why? Because his name is Joshua Kahn, and he won the SourceCon Challenge number one for 2008. Somebody else beat him in the finals, I know. But those SourceCon contests are pretty darn hard, if you ask me. And I know you ask me, or why would you be here listening to me, the recruiting animal, on the Recruiting Animal Show? Josh Kahn, Joshua Kahn, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am here.
Thank God, thank the Lord. I always am so happy when you guests actually show up. Okay, now I got to ask you a question right to start off with. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I can hardly hear you. Okay, talk louder, please.
Okay, how's this?
That's better. Listen, are you related to James Caan?
No, completely
Madeline
different.
Madeline Caan. Madeline Caan.
Probably somewhere.
Okay, what about the Aga Khan?
No, but I get confused with that Khan a lot.
Okay. Here's the reason I want to know. I got a beef with the Khan family. And you know why? Because of Dr. A.Q. Khan. He's the father of the Pakistani bomb, and we're all scared of it right now. And your family is to blame, aren't they?
No, that's a different spelling, I'm pretty sure, isn't it?
No, it's the exact same. Oh, how do you spell your name?
K-A-H-N.
Okay, but you know what? Spelling doesn't make any difference. In the past, people didn't know how to spell. If you're in Pakistan, you spelled it that way. If you're in the United States, you spell it your way. But it's enough. I just wanted to vent my bad feelings about that. Now, listen, I want to tell you a little story before we get going, okay?
Please, I'm all ears.
Okay, good. Don't be smart with me. Listen, I started listening a little while ago to a pretty well-known female singer on YouTube. I liked one song that I heard, so I listened to another, and eventually I got to her interviews. And I have to tell you, Josh, that was a little bit of a letdown for me because really, you know, she's a good singer, but she's not that interesting. She's a singer, not a talker, and I want you to understand what I'm saying here. You better not be like that on this show. I'm saying if you have trouble here, you better tell me. You say animal. I don't think I can be interesting right now. Help me save the show, and I will, Josh. I will, because you know what? The worst thing that can happen on this show is for my audience to find you boring. Do you understand me? Do you get it?
I hear you. I'm with you.
We're agreed, right?
I'll do my best to be exciting.
I will not be boring.
I will not be boring.
Okay, now I'm going to go. We got so many people here. I don't know if it's because of Maureen or you, but there's a lot of people here. I want to say hi to the people on the couch, but first I want to ask you something. Am I right or wrong when I say that your mother was a nun?
You are correct.
Your mother was a nun. What,
so was my aunt and her twin sister.
Her twin sister was a nun, too. But listen, I want to tell you something before you confuse me. Did you know that the mother of one of the greatest recruiters in the world was also a nun? David Perry in Ottawa?
Really?
His mother was a nun, yes.
And maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's something
there
to it.
Now, do you know your cousins recruiters?
Nope. Okay. Sorry. Didn't work out that way.
Didn't go that far. But listen.
No, it all came to me.
I got a question. I was reading a book once. You know, lots of people are going to turn off. They're not like me today. But anyway, I was reading a book once years ago about a guy who had been a friend of Timothy Leary back in the early 60s or mid-60s. And this guy got away from the drug scene after a while, and he married a nun. At the end of the book, he married an ex-nun, actually. And he said that the discipline – they learn makes them fantastic workers. And I want to know from you, was that true? Is a nun a great hire? You tell me.
Yeah, you know, I would hire my mom for just about anything.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would have to agree with that.
She was a nun. Come on, be fair.
Yeah, she was a nun for sure.
Okay.
In fact, she was a nun in the 60s, so whenever I ask her to reference anything that happened in the 60s, if it doesn't relate to the convent, she doesn't remember it.
Yeah, but you said that your mom smoked at the convent secretly.
She did, but they didn't know it. She was behind, you know, the boiler
or
something.
We're going to say hi
like
to
that.
Another Irish Catholic right now. the only reason I mentioned, she told me she's the kingpin of the Irish Catholic Mafia in Ohio. Is she here? Maureen Sheriff.
I never told you that.
Yes, you did. Yes, come on. You're making me look like a bigot, but I'm not. I'm just saying what I heard, okay?
There is an Irish Catholic mob here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, there you go. And we know who runs. We know where. I got to tell you something, Josh, before we get going. I don't want to too much chit-chat, but Maureen runs everything online. I know it. I heard it from a good source. We'll put that to the side. Next up, Jean Brown from
Can I say something, Animal?
Texas.
I'm sorry to interrupt it. I want to tell everyone that I'm on the Recruiting Animal Ning site. And I'm running a chat accompanying this show.
Okay, great.
Okay, so tell them how to get there.
They don't know
it.
Forget it.
Recruitinganimal.ning.com. Come and join the site and join me in the chat.
Okay.
And we'll talk behind his back as he
okay.
Blathers
Corey,
on as
Corey,
he does so well.
Show. I got this guy to promise he wouldn't wreck it. Are you trying to do it yourself? Area code 512, Gene Brown from Novotus, calling all the way from Texas. Say hello to my, new friend, Josh Kahn.
Hey, Josh. This is Gene Brown. How are you today?
Hey, Gene. Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Okay,
look
enough from
you.
What you
hey, say.
There's somebody else here from Texas to confuse me. Who are you? 512.
David Dyke with iHire.
Okay, never answer your first for the show. You want Dana Dyke? Is that your name, Dyke?
David Dyke.
David
yep.
Dyke. You know, I'm a big fan of Dorothy Surrenders. You know that blog?
I don't, no. Nope.
My favorite lesbian blog. You remind me of it. Area code 612.
Jim Kramer.
Area code 612. Who are you? You want to say hi? Is that Jerry?
No, it's not me. I'm at 260.
260.
Yeah,
Jerry. Hey. Verbalsummary.com. Jerry Albright, you're here. Thank you. 612 doesn't want to say hi.
612 is probably me, animal.
That's you again?
Yeah. Oh, well, no. Is there 2612s there? Because I'm one of them.
Who are you?
Josh, your guest.
Who's 312? Who's area code 312? Okay, listen, we'll come to these other guys after. Josh, we got to get to work, okay?
Let's get to work.
Okay, we'll get to you guys after, okay? You'll ask some questions later. One last thing. One more thing. Just one more chit-chat thing. You practice Aikido, am I right? Yes or no?
Yes.
That's the sissy's form of karate, isn't it? You want to fight, but you don't want to hurt anybody. Am I right? So you kind of just let them knock themselves out? Is that the intention?
Basically, yes. I wouldn't go with sissy form of karate, no. But, yes, you let them knock themselves out.
And I got to tell you something. It reminds me, the reason I brought it up was, it reminds me of a certain aspect or a certain philosophy of sourcing called ethical elicitation. When you're doing telephone sourcing and you call it ethical elicitation, you're not lying, but you're not telling the truth either, right? Just like with Aikido, you say, I don't want to hurt anybody, but I'm going to help him bash his brains in, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
but I wouldn't equate it to ethical elicitation.
We'll come back to ethical. Look, I got all kinds of stuff.
I think Maureen can maybe chime in on that subject.
Who?
Maureen.
She's got her own show coming up, okay? There's lots of people I haven't even said hello to, and she's taking all my time. Now, listen, I'm going to base this whole interview on the one you did with a guy named Ricky Deere at recruitingimpact.com, okay?
Yep.
The thing is, I read that interview, and I didn't understand a word. And it wasn't Ricky's fault because it was done by email. I could tell he didn't have any chance to ask you any follow-up questions, but now you're here with me. And you're here with the All-Star Recruiting Animal panel, and we're going to make you face that music, Josh, today like you've never faced it before. Are you ready?
I'm ready. And just little quick note. I don't think it can get any worse than, you know, and I don't mean this negatively, but, you know, I've been married for 11 years. I think we talked about this beforehand. And if anyone out there is married, you know what that means. You get to examine yourself in a way that you may not otherwise have anticipated
you're
before
going
getting married. So.
You're kind of rationalizing the fact that you're henpecked by saying it's, you know, lifting you up spiritually. I got to tell everybody.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I was going to tell them before, this guy, Jeff, he can't get away from sourcing. He married another recruiter. He married a sourcer.
Exactly.
Now, does that make for a stronger relationship? You always have something to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, really? You don't say,
you should ask Paul. Ask Paul, the Minnesota headhunter, about her.
What about her? I'll ask him about it. See, I won't even go there, okay?
Yes.
Let's just put that to the side. I want to come back to your wife. I find her interesting, okay?
Okay.
But let's get to business. You call yourself a senior pipeline generation expert with Accenture HR services on site at BestBuy.com in Richfield, Minnesota. Now, that's a mouthful. What does it mean?
Well, I don't call myself that. That's what my company calls me. And as obnoxious as the title is, it does have some indication of what goes on behind the title, which is helping not only Best Buy but other clients of Accenture figure out the best ways to pipeline candidates or put a pipelining program in place. And that's just kind of part of my gig. So that's where the name comes from.
What would you call yourself? You said you wouldn't choose this name. What would you call yourself, Josh?
Talent acquisition professional.
My bad.
No. Just kidding. I wouldn't call myself that. I don't know. Recruiter, sourcer, researcher.
That's good. That's a
web dude. I don't
know. Simple name like Jack, you know?
Yep.
Okay.
I find people. don't know.
Right. You find people. Okay. You know what? Just to be fair to the people on the couch, does anybody have a question for Josh already? Nope. Okay. Okay, just pipe in any time, you know. The rules here, if I don't want you to talk and you speak, I'll shut you up, but you have the right to speak up. On this show, everybody's got the right. Now, Josh, I was going to ask you all kinds of questions about who you work for and all that stuff. We'll get to it later. You said something, I guess, in Ricky's interview that I thought was kind of interesting. You said attention is the real commodity today. And if your employment brand or personal brand isn't distinguishable from the masses, you're going to get missed. Now, isn't attention always been the real commodity or the important thing? You got to get yourself in front of your market. What do you mean there? Is that defensible?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, you're right. It always has been one of the commodities, but I think it's more intense nowadays because there's so many more channels of information that are flowing at people, especially if they're active online. Even if you're not, there's a lot more places where people are advertising, and a lot more that we have to digest mentally on a daily basis.
So let me cut it short and come to the point. You're saying there's so much media hitting you in the face, you have to focus a little more on catching the attention of the target market. Is that what you're saying?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's it. Now, I thought it was funny, like, you think that recruitment advertising is the function of a sourcing professional. Am I right?
I wouldn't say it's the function of a sourcing professional, but there's a lot of overlap there. And
belongs to the sourcers. That's what you're saying, right?
Potentially. It depends on how your organization's set up. But, yeah, if your sourcer doesn't know something about marketing or at least some principles of it, they're going to be harder-pressed to do their job, I think. You can still do your job without having a sense of marketing, but marketing really just means that you know your audience. You know what they want. You know how to give it to them in a way that they can digest it and remember it. And that's the essence of getting a message to somebody that's compelling. The whole challenge, once you find your target, in a sense, that's the easy part. The sourcing, the actual finding people is the easy part.
An honest sourcer wouldn't say that. Look, go ahead, finish it off, okay?
Yeah, here's what I mean by that. I think it's getting increasingly easier to find people because as, Generation Y and generations behind it, get to working age, they're all, a lot of them are aligned. I don't know what the numbers are, but a higher percentage of them are somewhere online. They have a digital presence more so than the older generations. So what that means is they are legitimately more findable than people who aren't online. Unless you're a phone source, unless you have those skills, which I'm not one of those people, I do most of my work online. So you can find people a whole lot easier, I think, as time goes on. So the challenge, I think, in the future is going to be how do you present that person that you found a compelling message, a compelling reason to email you back, call you back.
That's not sourcing. That's recruiting, okay?
Well, no, not necessarily. Like I said, it depends on the organization you work for. Some places, the sourcers will go find the people, and they'll hand it off to a quote-unquote recruiter. But that's not always the case. In fact, my push is for, and kind of what the pipeline generation thing is all about, is functioning more like an internal search firm within a corporation.
Okay, then I wouldn't call you a sourcer. I'd call you a recruiter who with a full-service recruiter.
Well, it's semantics. I don't care what you call me. I can describe what I do, but the label doesn't matter.
Well, hold on a second. Let me talk, will you? You said, and Maureen is going to like this, although now it doesn't mean what I thought it meant. Didn't you say that sourcing is the new black?
No, that wasn't me.
I think I read
I think that was Shally.
Interview.
I think Shally said that.
What?
I think Shally said that.
Okay, I don't think I said it, okay? Look, if he didn't say it, don't give everything to Shally. It has to do with sourcing. Now, look, you said, okay, but it's settled here. Sourcing for you is just recruiting, all aspects of recruiting. Sourcing, like identifying the candidates, contacting them, doing the initial screens, selling them on the job. That's all sourcing for you. Am I right?
Yeah.
What's
yeah,
not?
It can be, but I wouldn't see. I don't like the tags. I don't like the categorization that way because there's a huge caveat, and that is it depends. If you're working for a name generation place, no, then that doesn't define what sourcing is.
Okay, so the terms are flexible. That's what you're saying. They're situationally determined. Is that right?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, well, I don't like that. I don't like, you know, I saw your picture. I put up a picture of you today. You look like a geeky kind of guy, you know, and you got the glasses, and you would have worn one of those pocket things in the old days and had a slide rule. I don't know, but now you're vague. You're slippery, just like everybody else.
Yep,
okay,
well,
listen, here's what you say. You say, I am responsible for advising our clients on techniques and approaches for attracting and finding talent. Well, first of all, so attracting is the advertising side, right? Finding is going out yourself and finding them. Am I right? Just
yeah, I would expand it beyond advertising. I mean, my thing is that recruiting is a lot closer to a consumer brand than it is a brand on its own. So, like, the brand of your company is really closely tied to your employment brand. Whether that happens in terms of budget dollars that are allocated for postings or advertising internally or not, and most of the time it doesn't, I think it's true. So we've never hired somebody who didn't already have an image of Best Buy in their mind, for example. Whether it's good or bad or whatever, they had an image already. So
what are you talking about? I don't know. I asked you a question. I don't know what you're saying.
Okay. So when you when your HR department, if you work for a corporation, is looking at their budget to market jobs, to market employment opportunities.
You should be asking me now, Mike. I'm having trouble keeping it interesting. Can you help me? I'm going to help you whether you like it or not. Okay, first of all, you work for Accenture. They pay you, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, and Accenture in this case acts sort of like a recruiting firm. They send you out on contract, essentially, to Best Buy. Am I right about that?
Yeah, but the relationship is deeper than that. So it's I, in fact, a lot of times feel more like Best Buy than I do Accenture, even though that's not, you know, that's not where my paycheck comes from. But because I'm, you know, sitting
embedded
in the culture here.
You're embedded there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. That's like the Stockholm Syndrome or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it sort of is. It sort of is, except they're not forcing me to be here.
Okay.
So, and they're not holding me at gunpoint.
Yeah, so they're your client. They're your client, and they're kind of your quasi-employer, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you report to somebody at both places, like a matrix system? You report to somebody at Best Buy and also at Accenture?
Well, I have a direct person that I report to at Accenture, and then I have a client, essentially, on the Best Buy side. Somebody
Oh, really?
That I work with on projects, yeah.
Uh-huh. Are there other people doing the same job as you at Best Buy, or are you the only
No.
one there?
No. Well, my job is a little bit different, so I'm not doing production sourcing anymore.
Uh-huh.
My role is to help the sourcing team with things that they're working on, sourcing requests that they're working on, and then
okay,
also.
Okay, so you are a consultant essentially for their sourcing team. Is that right?
Essentially, yeah.
Okay.
Although consultant's not in my title.
Okay, but your title
Clearly.
Doesn't make any sense. Okay. In fact, if you use all kinds of funny words, production sourcer, right? You're not you're not in production. You're not finding people yourself. You're telling other people how to find them, right?
Yes.
That's what I call a consultant. You're either their manager then, or you're an outside consultant. That's what you are. You're kind of a quasi.
Yeah. Do you feel comfortable now with who I am?
Yeah, I've identified what you do, but actually in general terms. So how do you advise them? What do you tell them? Now you tell them about what technology they should buy or use. Am I right about that?
Yep. We take a look at vendors.
Give me a concrete example. No theorizing. I don't want you to get vague on me. Give me a real example that you're allowed to tell.
I think jobs to web.
What's that?
They're an SEO vendor. They're actually based out of Minneapolis, as it happens.
You don't want to talk a little louder? Just so you want people to hear.
I'm swallowing the phone here, so I don't know what's going on.
Talking too loud.
All right. Well, Jobs to Web's a local vendor in Minneapolis, and they work on, among other things, they do SEO for jobs. Without getting too technical, most career sites don't allow for good search engine optimization. The listeners probably know that already, but what Jobs to Web does is help you do that, and it also incorporates RSS into your jobs. So a potential candidate could subscribe to an RSS feed or an email to get updates on jobs in a given category, given department, and it lowers the barrier of entry to getting updates on Best Buy's content.
You know, I have to tell you something. I wasn't listening to a word you said because you've been getting some really weird messages from other people. Susan King Nam sent a message, oh, Josh, I will be listening, but then she tells me that I have to get somebody else on the show. I mean, like, why not the focus on you, right?
I don't know.
And Susan Burns, all the Susans are writing in. Susan Burns wrote in. She says, I can't make the show today, but will def catch the archive. Josh should be great. You're so great that you can't make the show, okay? There you go. Sorry. Now, should I ask you what you said again, or should I just take it for granted that it was really interesting? And
I think you should just take it for granted, and we should move
on
to the next thing.
Okay. Does anybody want – I mean, I've never seen so many people call in, okay? Never. I got tons. Does anybody want to say something? Jerry, you often have something to say.
Yeah, let this guy get some traction.
What do you want to hear from him?
I think we've covered his title pretty well.
Okay. Listen, Josh, you've got a bunch of certifications. Air certified, CIR, ACIR. What do these things mean in practical terms? How do they help you recruit?
Well, those are, for anybody who doesn't know, it's just training on sourcing techniques, advanced sourcing techniques.
Tell us what they are. Yeah, I don't know.
How do you use Google to find resumes, or how do you use Google to find profile information or background information, or just do competitive intelligence research? How do you use any of the other tools that are on the Internet to get you into the pools of people you want to talk to, that you want to target? And then how do you, they have some things in there for how do you make it easier to automate some of that stuff. To be honest with you, the AIR stuff is good, and I recommend it to anybody. But also, most of the stuff that I've learned for free. And it started with Shally and Jim and the usual suspects and Glenn Guttmacher.
Jim Stroud, give him some credit, okay?
Jim Stroud, you call him Dirty Jimmy Stroud.
Like you and me, okay?
Jim Stroud, Glenn Guttmacher, Shally, of course. All those guys put a lot of stuff out for free that anybody right now listening could go and get a week's worth or a month's worth of information, and you end up feeling like you never have a loss for resources.
So they're kind of slitting their own throats, in other words, because you're not buying their services, you're just getting it for free. Am I right?
No, I don't think so. I think what they're sharing is the stuff that on your own you could go learn and you could go figure out. It would just take much longer. I think they have a whole lot of other programs that are deeper to the training that they actually sell.
Mm-hmm.
So they follow the, give some good stuff away as sort of a teaser to further business, and clearly it's working.
Okay, so let's say their website. That's jobmachine.net. That's for Shally,
yep,
Glenn, and Dave Mendoza, and then jimstroud.com, right?
Or the Recruiting Lounge. Recruiter's Lounge.
Recruiter's Lounge. Is it the Recruiter's Lounge, right?
Yep.
I was on there.
Yep.
You've been on?
I have been on. Well, no, I have not been on. Sorry.
Here's a guy. After Ricky's handled him and I've handled him, he's like meat tenderized. You'll really get to the good stuff.
He's marinated.
Yeah. You think she's going to be mad at me for that? I hope not. It was just
I have some questions coming in on the chat. Can I
ask the question?
Please, yes.
All right, somebody's wondering how Accenture bills you to the client.
That's not important for us.
That's not something that I can really talk about, probably. I mean, suffice it to say that there's a high-level contract that considers, much bigger things.
Much broader than recruiting. They do all kinds of consulting. I have a question about that, though. Are you just recruiting for one Best Buy store or a chain or a region?
It's corporate, retail. It's everything.
Yeah, the reason I ask that is you're doing exclusively internet sourcing and advertising, it sounds like to me. And you say you're recruiting people from the bottom, customer service people on the phone, right up to VP level. And you're doing all of that just through internet sourcing a wide range of people. Am I right about that?
Yeah, not just me personally, but that's what our team does.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you don't need any telephone sourcing. Is that right? You can find everybody you need using the Internet. Am I right about that?
Yeah, so far it's worked out that way.
Yeah, and so far, how long have you been there?
4 years.
That's
almost 4 years.
That's a long time. Now, does that include databases on job sites like Career Builder and Monster and whatever?
Yes, but not for our local teams. We have people offshore that do that.
Really?
Yep.
So you mean there's people like in India or somewhere, and they go through the resume databases on these job boards. Is that okay? Are you allowed to tell us this? Is that a secret?
Well, it's out now, isn't it? So, yeah. It's not unique to us. A lot of people do it that way. The truth is I think that stuff is sort of the easy pickings, and with the pipeline model, we're trying to get to a place where we're you know, getting at the people who aren't on the job boards, ideally. So real quick on the phone sourcing thing, that's an element that I consider to be important. It's not something that I'm an expert on. So, you know, I think it's something that would be a great add-on to things that we already do. And there are some people with Accenture who do that. Just doesn't happen to be something we focus on a lot here.
Are you allowed to say that?
I just did.
Okay, great. Are you having fun, or is there something I should be doing to make you feel a little better? I mean,
No, this is fun. I love it. I love
Does
the.
Anybody, look, there's so many people here.
Vicki has another question. Vicki Lauder, she wants to know how he gets connected to a project in the first place. Who requests him to work on a project?
Tell Vicki. You know,
you're telling her right now, so go ahead.
She's coming out of Anderson or somewhere like that in the 90s.
Exactly.
And she's asking all these questions, you know, that have to do with a consulting firm. I'll let Josh answer one of those questions. We're really involved in hands. We want to know about hands-on stuff here. Go ahead, answer Vicki. She's a
well, nice I don't know. I don't know if that's something that I can answer specifically. I think she's looking at us as like a search wizards or something like that, where, you know, they've got a pool of people who are sourcing consultants, and then they place them wherever they have need or wherever their clients have need. It doesn't quite work that way with Accenture, so let's probably just leave it at that.
Okay, you know, yeah, that's too high level for us, Vicki. Come on, you know, Vicki was just in Hungary, by the way, and she's got a new picture of herself on Twitter from when she was in Prague. They have a big bridge there from the 1400s.
That's not Hungary. That's Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, that Prague. Oh, well, she was there as well. You think I don't know Hungary from Prague, Budapest, and Prague? They're in different countries.
But you're Canadian. What do you
that's
know?
That's Cliff. My father's Hungarian.
Oh,
I'll never
sorry.
Forget
sorry,
it.
I
Tell
didn't
me.
Know.
Cliff Mintz has a PhD. Thinks he's smarter than me. But you're not, pal. That's why you're calling this show. Yeah, I won't go on anyway. But okay, so
I have a question though.
Go
yes,
ahead.
Yes, please. Questions.
So, being an old guy who's been a recruiter and did it the old-fashioned way of, you know, calling people on the
get
phone.
Get to your point. Like, there's lots of people listening. Get to the point.
I have to foreshadow the comment. Please, let me finish. So every time on this show, we hear about all kinds of like Twitter and this board and that board and all this stuff, and everybody's reinventing recruiting. I mean, how many qualified people are there really out there that you really have to look that hard for to put into these jobs? I mean, honestly.
It's a great point. I'm never one to say you have to use Twitter, you have to use the internet. You don't. If you're someone like yourself who's been in recruiting for a long time and you already have networks built up, or you're comfortable doing it via phone and referrals, or whatever your methods are, there's no reason to change. Why would you change?
No, but
so
I'm,
I wouldn't
I'm trying
advocate
to point out
that
here
all.
Is that what I think that Animal, you know, and I think rightfully so, brings to the table every time is that, you know, finding people on the internet or getting applications through the internet or whatever, you know, tech algorithm you want to use, that's only one minuscule part of really what a recruiter does. I mean, really what the recruiter is typically paid to do, if you're really recruiting, is to find, you could easily find people. I could throw out a shingle and, you know, on a website and get thousands of interviews. But what recruiters really need to do is to really make physical or at least voice contact with a prospective employee or job candidate to ensure that this person isn't even wasting the time of the people in your organization.
Absolutely.
So all right. The highfalutin, you know, sourcing, you know, algorithms.
Well, wait now, it's not highfalutin. Here's where I think there's a misunderstanding.
Okay.
Is the way that you've done things and have always done things, it's not different now. It's just there's different tools to access those people, to uncover the connections to people. Now, you do it by what? By having conversations with people
no,
and who
I
you
use,
know kind
of
thing?
It's an amalgamation of different tools, but what I'm trying to point out here is that you could spend, and people probably do, that are not true recruiters, spend most of their day sourcing and figuring out ways to bring in new candidates. And what I'm saying is that there is a plethora of candidates out there that want jobs. And
uh-huh.
to sort through and spend most of your time trying to get more people
okay,
in.
Okay, Cliff, I'm going to take over. I'm going to
okay.
take over.
Is
I'm going to take over.
Recruiting?
Hold on,
all right,
Cliff.
Go ahead, Animal. I just sort of wanted to
okay,
bring that to
that's
the table.
Not what
Cliff,
I say every time.
Recruiting
like he's saying, I'm sure they contact these people on the phone sooner or later. That's not the issue. The issue is these guys in India who are searching the resume databases, what percentage of your placements come from them?
Thank you.
To be honest, I don't know. I don't have that number.
Okay, that's an interesting question, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, absolutely it is. And, you know, it's if we're talking my opinion,
yep.
I don't think that's even a necessary channel anymore. I think it's becoming even less necessary as a channel, the job boards, I mean. So that's my take on it. So I think Cliff is exactly right in what he's saying. It's not about quantity in most cases. In some cases it is, but it's about quality, and it's about having a way to develop a relationship with the right fit for your job. Now, there's a lot of nebulous abstract statements being made there because a lot of those things are very subjective things. Your hiring manager, your recruiter.
I have to stop you. This is going off track. I want to ask you some other questions. Now,
all right.
If you got these res, but everybody else who's not being sourced by these guys in India from the resume databases on the job boards,
uh-huh.
They're still coming from the internet or from your advertising campaigns. Am I right? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So what percentage come in through the advertising of your hires?
Through the advertising?
Yeah, it sounds like you do recruitment advertising as well. I saw on your old blog, you've got two blogs. We didn't even get to mention them. But you have ads there. Do you wanna work in your underwear? That's one of your titles. Am I right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So that's an ad.
Well,
I assume you placed that somewhere else, not just on your blog that no one reads. Am I right about that?
Yes, and that was more just me playing around, just seeing what kind of response I would get. And I actually got, as funny as it is, I got response on it. And it was a really unique, weird position, which when we posted it normally didn't get any kind of run whatsoever. So I was trying other methods.
Okay, but where do you post your ads?
Well, the ads that we post are mostly, it used to be, you know, the traditional places, the job boards, but we've shifted to doing more SEM and SEO with Jobs to Web. And honestly, most of our traffic, most of our candidates come right from the Best Buy site, at least is for what we can see on our end.
Okay, so you've got a different thing. You're working for a really high-profile company.
Yep.
And so that attracts a lot of the people.
Exactly.
What percentage of people come through the site?
Oh, probably at least over 50. Over 50.
Over 50. So
yeah.
You've got people just coming to the site. You've got people who are coming through the databases, although you say those aren't that much important that important anymore. And then the final portion is your team of sourcers from the internet doing Shally and Glenn and Jim Stroud kind of things. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what should we talk about next?
How many sourcers do you have on the team?
There are, there are four of them.
Okay, I have a question, actually. So, but what you said, you're really interested as a sourcer in the career websites as well, since it's so important in your current situation. Am I right? Yes or
yes.
No?
Yes.
Now, do you have control of the career website, the career page, or whatever it is for your?
No, I don't. But my client does. The person I directly talk
with.
Okay.
Okay. And you advise that person because you have some very strong ideas about
mm-hmm.
the career page. Am I right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
You are right.
Tell us your strong ideas, and make it short.
Well, the career site is moving more from a site like a static page to more of a portal. The essence is that a job posting is not enough information for people to determine whether or not they're a fit. I advocate having more honest conversations available, an honest view as much as that's possible into what it's like to work at a company. And that means in some cases positive and negative. You don't want to tell somebody it's, you know, unicorns and roses to come work for Best Buy, and then when they get there and there's no unicorns and no roses, they leave, and you have a retention problem on the back end. I'd rather give them the straight story and say, here's the great parts, here's the parts where we have a challenge, and then the people who make it through that filter are more likely to stick. They're more likely to stay because they, number one, they know the full story, and number two, they're able to work through that. You know, they've made the decision already.
How do they get the full story? I don't know.
Well, we're not perfect at it yet, but that's
don't interrupt me. I'm in charge. How do they get? You said it's a portal. How do they get through to someone to ask more detailed questions behind the job order? Is there an email address? Do you click this, send in your question, or are you on Meebo or some kind of instant messenger, and they can start talking with Josh when they're there, or somebody, a live person? How does that work?
A couple different ways. First way, there's a URL, bestbuyinc.com/connect. Go look at that. And it's just started. It was just literally launched this week, but it's something that we've been talking about for a while. And I'm not behind it, but...
what was that again?
bestbuyinc.com/connect or /, or whichever slash it is. And when you go there, there's a couple different channels, if you will. One is blogs, one is the Twitter feed, one is some other sites that Best Buy has that are Ask a Blue Shirt, that are forums, iambestbuy.com. And there's a whole lot of different places that a person could go and experience as much as is possible over the Internet what the culture of this company is like. So that's much, much different than traditional banner ads and job posting.
So there's some kind of forum. They have access to a forum or some kind of direct questioning of people on the inside. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
Yep. And here's the interesting thing. This didn't come from HR. This came from communications. So my whole thing is that, this is where the brand is really the same thing as the employment brand. So people go and see, Best Buy employees in their Twitter feed. And, yeah, it might not be interesting to everybody, but let's say you could see the Twitter feed for everybody in the BestBuy.com department, our e-commerce folks. That would be interesting because they talk about things that are relevant to their workday. They talk about things that are couched in more human terms, not ad speak or marketing speak. And that's a more human connection. That's a closer relationship than sort of a static, dry job posting. And, by the way, then you can go follow those via RSS feeds or go follow them on Twitter and start to interact with those folks that way.
Okay, the people inside your company, because I've heard about this. I've read about it for a few years. This is the first time I've really heard about it. The people inside your company, are there certain people who are designated as approved people to communicate with potential candidates, yes or no?
No.
Well, how do they know who's gonna if I go to that Best Buy site and I ask a question, how many hours do I have to work, or is the boss of this department a nice guy? Who's gonna answer me? How am I gonna get an answer about that?
Well, then they've got to direct them to us. So again, this is early stages for us. It's not perfected yet. So there's a lot of boogers to work out of the system for sure, and that's probably one of them. But what I'm trying to get at is that we're trying to break down this barrier between, well, is the person coming to our site because they're interested in our stuff or they're interested in our company? If they're interested in our company, likely they're interested in potentially working here, right? So that's my point in saying this came from communications. It didn't come from HR. And there are people that have, for a long time, been employees of Best Buy and been out there pushing out content. We just never took advantage of it as an organization, or I should say they never took advantage of it as an organization to a recruiting end. So now we can start to do that.
Is that like Martha Gately here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
think
Martha's on my team.
Martha's
on my team.
I have a question from chat.
I got a question myself, Maureen.
Real quick, Martha.
Me first.
Go ahead.
Getting interesting.
Josh Paul, Minnesota Headhunter, wants to know how many resumes Best Buy received last year.
Oh, it's in
if
the
you
millions.
Know.
It's in the millions.
Millions.
Oh yeah.
Can I have?
We have like 1,000 stores. I mean, if you look at retail and if you look at corporate, just retail alone, there's 160,000 employees. So that should tell you something
makes
about
sense.
The size of the organization. Mm-hmm. So yeah, millions.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So
all you need are resume sorters. You don't have to go anybody finding anybody.
Well, that's part of the problem is sorting the signal from the noise. To Clint's point, that's exactly where we're getting to now. Is that. But there still are those positions where either it's an emerging job category like SEO used to be, or it's something where, for whatever reason, there aren't a lot of people out there with the
specific. That's a powerful database just in itself.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but the point is,
Maureen, of pizza drivers. Good people, come on.
But the point is,
not all of us.
We didn't work out a good way to tap it, or they hadn't worked out a good way to really tap that. An even bigger resource for us is the people that come through the stores. We wouldn't need to pay for any marketing if we could find a way to, to legitimately have job content in front of them in a way that wasn't intrusive.
So you'll search
through
their credit cards to find out who you should recruit. That's pretty interesting. I never thought of that before.
This must be what Stephen Colbert's guests feel like. I got to think.
Oh, no. Who's Martha Gately? Can't you tell me?
She's on our sort. I try to, but there's a whole lot of noise for some reason.
Maureen jumped in and kind of clobbered my question.
Oh, okay. She's on. Yeah, she's on the sourcing team.
She's on your sourcing team?
Yeah.
How does he know her?
I don't know, because she's out there.
How does Jerry Albright know what's going on? You have to ask that question, Animal.
She's in Texas. She's in Big D.
I want to know how Animal knows what's going on. That's
okay,
awesome.
He called you Clint, and I'm going to call you Clint from now on as well. I like that, but there's so
hey,
many
Josh,
other people.
I like your replacements reference there on Twitter. That's
Skyway.
That tells me all I need to know about
Paul Westerberg, one of the best songwriters of all time.
You know it.
Yeah, he's a Minneapolis boy, so got to represent.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. There's so many people here. I'm not used to it. There's 14 people on the show right now, live listening, plus Maureen. The people who are live here, does anybody have something they'd like to ask? Or, you know, is this totally irrelevant to you?
I do.
Not Clint.
Yeah. No, come on. I have
Clint,
a very question.
Just hold back, Mr. Pierre.
Jerry Albright. He has a question.
I didn't know if it was impacting your spring work or not. So.
Can't hear you. Is somebody talking?
Okay, then what about north of Jay? I mean, is it okay for now?
Is somebody?
He's on another phone call.
He's on another phone call. Let me ask a question then. Come on.
Go ahead.
No,
I'm going to ask. Okay.
I want to ask about the Twitter concept.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead to Twitter. And we're running out of time.
Oh, we are. We're right. I'm sorry. It's been so engrossing. So with the Twitter thing, though, I mean, you said you had employees there pushing content before. I mean, were those employees that were blogging uncensored on their own blogs about Best Buy, or was?
Well, not necessarily about Best Buy. They were just talking about whatever it is they chose to talk about, you know.
Best Buy sanction those blogs or those messaging or Twittering? Or?
Well, so for the Best Buy Connect page?
Well,
essentially what that is you have to go and sign up for it, and then you agree to, you know, some terms and things like that. I don't know if they've got it perfectly figured out yet, but they're watching it to see how it goes. I think the point is they're doing it, though. I mean, there's always going to be some...
Well, that dope.
Let's listen in on that other conversation.
Well, that dope who's got that other noise coming through, turn it off.
What is it?
Somebody's got some noise coming through their phone. I'm going to have to turn everybody off. That's a lot of nerve.
It's a private discussion. Just enjoy. Hold on.
Okay, listen, Josh, before we run out of time.
Because it keeps
Josh, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Now, you said, Michael, we haven't even got to the fact that you won one of the SourceCon challenges. You're like some kind of super internet sourcer. Am I right? Yes or no?
No, you said that. I wouldn't say that.
Okay, but you won a prize, right?
Yeah.
You beat Julia Stone by a few hours. Am I right about that?
I did, yes.
And
Julia's phenomenal, by the way.
Look, pal. Maureen, that must be one of your people. Tell that guy to turn off that noise.
How am I supposed to do that?
I don't know. It's bad enough when Cliff's got his dog yapping in the background.
You blame me for all the problems. Okay.
Listen.
Man, that person was alive.
How did you win that? I want to know. Tell us what went into, you know, you asked on Ricky Deere's interview. You answered a question. Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. That guy's killing me. I'm going to have to turn everybody off just to get rid of that.
Let's publicly humiliate this person.
No, it isn't.
You go ahead, publicly humiliate him.
Can you hear me, Josh?
You're good at that, Andy.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay, look, we'll talk over him. He's not that loud.
He's on a speakerphone. He's got us on speakerphone, and he's taking another call.
Maybe. I don't know. Listen to me.
How out of touch can you be?
I don't know.
Just keep going.
Hey, quiet. This show's almost over, and I haven't even gotten to ask about SourceCon.
The wheels are coming off.
Hold on. I'm freaking out here. Are you listening?
He can hear you.
Just
ask keep
everybody
going.
If they're on speaker, and who doesn't fess up, then nail them.
Hey, Carl,
on Animal.
Okay.
Take control.
Okay. Thank you, Carl Chapman.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Mike Notaro beat you.
Me,
how come?
Animal, so leave me on.
Oh yeah.
How is he better than you, Josh?
What's that?
Mike Notaro beat you in the Grand Championship, right?
Yes.
And he won before, right?
Yep, he did.
And you said, I read you, said that he's a guy with crazy smart ideas. Am I right about that?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you also told Ricky Deere what you think makes a great recruiter. How come Mike Notaro is better than you? I want to know, because that'll help us. You're a good recruiter. You must be. You must be a super-duper internet sourcer, right?
Well, you know, here's the thing with Mike. Mike is a very technically gifted guy, incredibly smart, and understands how websites are put together, how the internet works, and how to take advantage of all those various connections. And technologies, he understands XML. So he understands the internet in general at a level that most people don't. So that's why Mike does so well in those competitions. It's relatively easy for him to maneuver through the internet.
I don't understand. But go on. I'm going to come back to that. Go on.
Okay.
So he has an advantage.
What makes you able?
My skills are more along the lines of just logic and deductive reasoning. That's all.
Okay,
and I know something about how the internet works.
Start cutting people off. I'm going to, just for a few minutes, I'm going to cut a bunch of people off. If you're not the guy who's got that stupid noise on here, just call back, okay?
It's not me.
Okay, well, it's gone now.
Okay,
it's
gone.
Who was it?
I don't know. It's a bunch of numbers. I just cut off about half a dozen people. Sorry. Call back if you're not the idiot who had that thing running.
That's cold, animal.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Life's hard.
We got a fourth ranking. Okay. Okay, so look, Michael Natero, you're doing this kind of SourceCon challenge. If he knows technical things, how does that help him find people? Tell us. We want to know. I don't know anything about internet sourcing.
Here's what Mike's really good at. When you're doing internet sourcing, you're having to do a lot of manual processes, unless you have tools like Broadlook or eGrabber or any of those things that take those manual rote processes, like searching through Google results. There's things that you can either write, macros or bookmarklets or little JavaScripts that you can write and create on your own, or there's tools that you can use to help you write those things that take all that manual work and do it for you, basically. So Mike is really skilled with those kinds of tools and creating those things. So he's much better at applying those kinds of things. So in the SourceCon challenge, you have half an hour. It felt like 5 minutes, but you have half an hour to find whatever skill set they're telling you is your target. So if you don't have those skills and if you don't have those tools, you're going to be at a disadvantage time-wise. Not necessarily skill-wise per se, but you're at a disadvantage time-wise. So he can use those things to be really efficient to get a lot of names in a targeted area really fast. So that's why he won.
Okay, that's really interesting. So let me just go there again. So you mentioned Diver or something like that, or
yep,
Grammar. Broadlook. So these things, these tools, you said you can use those, or if you're technically inclined like Mike, you can write little scripts. Where do those scripts go? Like on your blog or something like that? How does he use them?
No, you can use them in your toolbar. Glenn Guttmacher has a folder of bookmarklets on his site. If you're doing any kind of sourcing, go get it, absolutely. Email me offline if you want to, and I can share it with you. But
what's your email address so people can get
Just joshua.kahn@bestbuy.com.
Joshua.kahn. Yeah, okay, they'll figure it out. I'll put it up there.
Very
Joshua,
good.
Go to Animal Show, recruitingshow.com, and I'll have it up there for you. So, you're gonna point them just what to Glenn's site? Is that all?
Yep, and because Glenn has a folder full of examples of the kinds of things I'm talking about. Those are bookmarklets, and that's just one technical example. There's
bookmarklets. It's just something you put in your toolbar and click on, and it takes you to another website, isn't that, or does it execute a function?
It's like a favorite, basically, in your browser.
Yeah.
But what it does is it interacts with the data that's on the page you're looking at in a way that you can't otherwise. Or you could manually, but it would take you longer.
That's really interesting. And so if you know all this stuff, how come Mike still beat you?
Well, I don't know all of it. I know about it. It's the difference between knowing how to drive and knowing how to build a car. I can drive, but Mike knows how to build cars.
Wow. Jeez.
How's that for an analogy, huh?
Yeah, okay. So we got a lot of people back here. Does anybody want to ask a question of Josh?
Hey, now, Josh, it's Jim Durbin.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Doing good. I have a quick question for you. I was hoping you could go into your database. Back in 2002, I believe it was somewhere in mid-January, I applied at a Best Buy store because I was unemployed at the time, and I did get the job, and I was curious if you could figure out what went wrong there.
Let me get back to you on that.
That's great.
I'm going to have to do some research. I'll see what I can come up
really
with.
Informed me. It really hurt me. In some ways, it drove me to go into social media because I couldn't figure out why all these companies couldn't hire me.
Well, you know what? You bring up a very good point for our company. I'm sure this applies to other places. There are people who, if they have a bad candidate experience, will actually decide not to buy a TV at Best Buy because they had a crappy candidate experience in whatever form or fashion. And that actually happens.
You had that question.
Sounds
about
like a plan to me.
If you've ever taken a pen or pencil from work, that's one of the questions on there. Have you ever taken office supplies? And I wasn't sure if I should be honest.
Right.
Listen, I'm not thinking that's
TV.
What you
I want to challenge
I still buy from Best Buy. I love Best Buy.
Jimmy, that's Jim Durbin, social media, headhunter.com. Carl was mentioned, the executive restaurant recruiter, cecsearch.com, by the way. If you speak up, I'll mention your site on air, and you don't know how many hits that's going to get you, let me tell you.
You haven't mentioned my blog on site, Animal.
What's that, biojobblog.com?
No.
Oh, yours? Well, you're only the guest. Hold on, we'll get to
exactly.
You.
Exactly.
I got a question for you.
Okay, go
I got
ahead.
A question. Now, you're very big on this idea of employment branding and treating all the people who apply to your company, giving them a great candidate experience. I guess that's really only important because you get so many people applying to you. If you turn them off, you're turning maybe off half your consumer market. Is that right?
Well, yeah, in a sense. There's definitely an impact. I think that'll be felt in the whatever collective brand about Best Buy. Sure.
Okay.
That's why I say the employment brand is not different than the consumer brand. It's really kind of one big thing.
Okay, so there's a couple of questions I'm sure a lot of people called for Maureen today, so I can't go too much overtime. They're waiting for her, not you. But first of all, tell us your blog name. Tell us your blog.
It's findattract.com, and it's find-attract.com.
Now, you know what? If you put a hyphen in there, what is that for SEO purposes? Because, you know, didn't I say something really cute when I was talking about marinated.com? If you can't tell it, you can't sell it, or if it's hard to spell, it's hard to tell, right?
That's okay. I'm not super concerned about SEO for my little blog.
Okay, well, it's not even SEO. I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, find-attract. I just want to make a point. Why did you put the hyphen in there?
I don't recall what my decision was on that, to be honest.
Get rid
with
of
you.
It. Get rid of it. I'm telling you.
Well,
I'm
I think the other domain is probably available.
Excuse me, Animal. You're wrong in this case.
Uh-oh.
You should keep the dash. You should buy find a track with no dash and forward it.
I point it. Yep.
Okay. There you go. But you're really not contradicting me that much, Carl, because the purpose I intended, I was right. Now, the other thing is, okay, you say that paying attention to detail, when Ricky asked you what's the keys to being a good recruiter, you said paying attention to detail is like number one. Paying attention to the website detail, paying attention when someone's talking to you, all kinds of things. What do you mean by that? I don't see that as the number one asset for a recruiter. You and I obviously...
No, not for a recruiter, for a sourcer. If you're doing online sourcing, there's a lot you can miss if you go too fast. There's a lot about a URL structure. There's a lot about what somebody might have on their profile that can lead you to other places they might be. In fact, that's the key to the SourceCon challenges is paying attention to those little details. It's not so much for recruiters per se, although I think that is a key component, I would think, listening and paying attention to what your prospects or candidates are telling you, or hiring managers for that matter. But in the context I meant to Dan was really as you're doing technical stuff, there's a lot that are on a person's profile, like I said, in the structure of a website that can lead you to other bits of information about either the industry you're targeting or that individual or whatever.
Okay, you know what? I just got an email from a guy who's on the line right now. He says, what's the address for the Marinated blog? And I don't think he's joking. I gave him the name. He spelt it the wrong way. That's the point. It's real cute, Marinated, but her name is an odd one. If you don't know how to spell her name, it's hard to find her blog. I mean, I was promoting it.
If you're looking for her, I mean, how hard is it really to find her?
I know, well.
She's everywhere. Is she
well,
not?
Let's do it. What is it? Marinated.com?
Let me spell it. MARENATED.com. And you'll find it, the branding article. It must be right near the top. So So paying attention to detail. You said something. I was too busy. You know, I'm getting all these emails of other people I should have on the show.
You're so flummoxed today. Do you need some ginkgo or something? I think you're.
You know what? We didn't even get into that. I've had some pretty bad experiences with Chinese doctors, and this guy. This must be the only story. I'm just going to go over a little on this. This must be the only guy in the world who didn't print money having an acupuncture practice. I went. The guy says, I can cure cancer. I can do everything. And his place was always full. He was charging me years ago an arm and a leg for three times of acupuncture every week. And then he was giving me those smelly herbs that I had to do up twice a week. And you know how much better he got me? He didn't get me better at all. And
exactly.
You said, you studied this, and you're an acupuncture doctor, or a Chinese herbalist, right? Yes
well,
or no?
Not technically anymore, but yes, I did study that.
Okay, you were.
And I was licensed at one point, yes, and I did practice for roughly 3 years.
And, wow. And you were teaching doctors about this stuff, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Like
Western
conventional medical doctors,
don't
yes.
Don't interrupt me, okay? And you said, we're short of time already, and you said that it sounds to me like one of the greatest seminal experiences in your life and a foundation experience for becoming a recruiter was trying to explain Chinese medicine to Western doctors. It required a lot of good selling skills. Yes or no? Am I right about that?
Absolutely. You have to be able to explain anything to somebody in a way that they can understand it. You can't just fire off in technical jargon.
How come you weren't successful in your own business, and how do you use it for recruiting? We're going to have to close on that.
Okay.
You should have been successful. You should be a millionaire already.
I wasn't successful because to practice ethically and not as a charlatan, I think you have to do it in a certain way. And that required more time and effort than money than I had available to me at that time. I also didn't know anything about running a business at that time. So failed miserably, but it was a great experience, actually. So what was the second part of your question?
That's a cash cow. An acupuncture place, that's just a moneymaker. I just don't understand it. Okay. And the other one was this internal selling. When I'm doing a search, that's often something that people are looking for, someone who knows how to sell his or her ideas to the executives. And you said that's one of the most enjoyable things that you're doing right now. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, isn't that true? Anytime just in basic communication, if you don't know how to speak the language of the person you're talking to, there's not likely to be any sort of relationship developed there on any basis, whether it's romantic or professional relationship. So it's just taking that idea and extrapolating to a point where if you stand in front of a room of people and they all have a common background, you have to speak to your audience. That's all I'm saying with that. But also, you know, different groups of people look at different things, generally speaking, in slightly different ways. So if you can couch it in terms and keep the integrity of the original information, but just speak their language, so to speak, you get more run out of it than you do if you just sort of blather away in jargon and don't pay attention to who's listening. Are they falling asleep
okay,
at the
so just
seats or not?
We're going to have to close on this. I want to know. Give us a concrete example of you selling an idea to an executive, and if you can, point out, like, what the skills are. You've already told us, talk the lingo of the people you're talking to. Am I
uh-huh.
right? That's one of the skills.
Yep.
And so now, do you talk in terms of bottom line? What are the keys that you use when you're trying to talk to business people instead of doctors?
Yeah, if it's at that level, and let's say I have an idea, and this happened here. So I developed a friendship with the guy who started the Geek Squad, Robert Stevens. One day I just sent him an email with a couple ideas, not knowing if he'd respond or not. And just couched it in terms of, you know, how it could impact potentially his business or those that he interacts with. And he got back to me and said, hey, I like your thinking. And I took that as a sign to give him more because I had more ideas. So I sent him more, and then we set up a time to talk. And if you've ever talked to him or heard him speak, he's an idea guy. So the more ideas, the more out of the box you can think with him, the more receptive he is. And it totally works. So we sat and talked, and that's provided other connections to other people that he's facilitated just because him and I were speaking the same language on that day.
Now, you know, I've got to tell you, this has been way more interesting than I expected it to be. I don't know if it was interesting to anybody else, but the time just kind of flew. Maybe it was because part of it was taken up by that intercom system.
That
I
was
don't
interesting.
Know. But I want to thank you for coming on, and maybe you'll come on again as a panelist or something like that. We'll talk about it in the future. Say, everybody, I want you to say thank you to Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. Anybody who wants to listen to Maureen Sherub and hear all about telephone sourcing, and Josh, you're welcome. You're welcome to stay and be challenged if you want. We're going there right now.
I'm going to watch the chat, so if anybody has questions.
Okay, Maureen, thank you, Josh. We're going into the telephone sourcing show. Okay, enough music. Somebody's talking to me. We're in Maureen's show. Who was that?
I said, do you have a live band in the studio today?
Yeah, we do. We always do. I don't know who I'm talking to, but music is the key part of this show. I like the whole show to sound like music. Doesn't happen very often. And you know what? We didn't even get to talk about U2. U2 is the favorite group of our friend here, Josh Kahn. That's why he's going to have to come again and talk about U2. I listened to some tapes just to listen talk to him about it, but I didn't get to do it. Now, listen, I don't know why Maureen said she's going to be watching the chat when this is her show, and she should be paying attention to
I'm
the call.
I'm watching the chat on your Ning site, recruitinganimal.ning. So if anyone has any questions that they're too shy to ask on the radio, just type them in chat, and I'll answer them.
Okay,
we'll see how this works.
Are
this is experimental. I'm ready. Go ahead.
You've got a dozen people here waiting for you.
Go.
Now, all the people, they weren't too talkative during, it freaked me out to see so many people there. I have to tell you, Maureen, I wanted to give them a chance to get involved. They didn't want to talk to Josh. They're camera shy or gun shy or
microphone. They have mic fright.
But now I'm going to give them a chance to talk to you. And
they
you better
will.
Talk louder yourself for that matter, okay? Does
someone Does anyone have any
say
questions?
Something or ask a telephone sourcing question of Maureen Sherub, the queen bee of telephone sourcing? That idiot is back with the noise, by the way.
Sounds like he's having lunch.
Well, he's going to get cut off soon. Does someone have a question for Maureen? Okay. Is anyone, let me put it another way. Is anyone having a problem with the search? You don't have to give your name. Just tell us the problem.
Yeah. No.
My wife lost her cell phone.
Well, call it, for God's sake. Okay. All you have to do is call.
Maureen, we've called it for days, and nobody's picking it up.
Oh, dear.
Okay, Maureen, should we talk about phone banks, since nobody wants to talk about anything?
Well, there was somebody else there in the shadows that was trying to come up.
Somebody got a question for Maureen? Sorry.
Is anybody having trouble with a search? Any particular search you'd like to tell us about it?
Let me put it a different way, Maureen. This is boring. Does anybody just want to tell us what they're searching for? You don't have to give your name.
There you go.
Just tell us a search. You might be having no problems. We just want to have something to work on,
Animal, there's someone. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Specialist. Hello? Start talking.
Hello?
There's two people. Let the girl talk first, okay? Come on, honey. Say something. Okay, the man. Man, you talk.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Speak up.
Okay, my question actually is related to sourcing. We already found the name and the title of a person, and we want to learn how to approach that individual to find out if they're developing new products in his company or not.
You're looking for competitive intelligence?
I guess so. Well, basically, our company is going to invest $10,000 in this special photo scanner, and we just want to know if there's a new version coming out in a month or so that we could get the brand new version instead of getting the old version.
Well, okay, and where did you find his name and title?
Just on LinkedIn.
Okay, and do you know that person is still at the company?
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure. I'm not exactly sure, no.
Do you have the phone number of the company?
I could get the phone number of the company, yes.
I would find the phone number of the company. That's easily enough accomplished. And then call the company and ask for that person. And when he answers the phone, just tell him what your dilemma is and ask him for his advice. That's what I would do in your situation. Am I missing something?
Well, it's not, it sounds so simple, but I guess our fear is that, you know, he'll tell us, hey, I can't tell you that, and then a month down the line, there's a new product out there, and we bought the old stuff. So I don't know if there's a way or a specific phrase or a magic phrase you have for us in order to kind of to ask that question so that he's more receptive to telling us.
Well, one thing I'm hearing, you've got some stinking thinking going on. You're anticipating that he won't tell you. I think the chances are he will tell you if you just tell him very straightforward, like you just did to us, why you want to know. You might want to talk to their investor relations department. They might tell you that information. I mean, after all, you're a potential customer.
That's true. Okay, that's interesting. That's just kind of a belief system, I guess. So, but it's nice to hear it from you.
Okay. I hope that helps. Try it and come back and tell us how it worked.
Why didn't he just wait a month?
Because I guess they want to buy it now.
Well, tax season coming up, so you want to buy it before tax, before the first.
Okay. Well, another piece of information just bolsters your reasoning.
Okay, that was an odd one.
Couldn't you purchase first and delay delivery, even if it's, right? That just gives you more ammo to when you call and ask.
Yeah, you know what, Carl? If they put the money on the line, they might give them some information, but he doesn't want to get, he can't wait that long, right? He's got to know when it's coming out.
No. You just give them the purchase order and complete it and take delivery of the new model a month down the line. The salesman will tell you. Shouldn't be any big deal.
Maybe, okay. I don't know. Okay. Usually people are advertising that they've got something coming down the line when it's so far down. That's what they call a vaporware, right? Does anybody else have a search they're working on? Just throw it out so other people can share that, okay? Or otherwise we'll talk about phone banks. I think we should talk about phone banks.
I've got a question for Maureen.
Go ahead.
For a firm that has not implemented any type of phone sourcing techniques, where do we begin? Where do we start? We're starting to learn some techniques, some tricks of the trades, but where do we stop this internet sourcing and pick up the telephone sourcing? How do we begin?
All right, that's a very good question. My recommendation may be somewhat different from internet sourcers, but I go to the internet for a little bit of information. I don't get lost on the internet. When I set up a job, I'll set up maybe 10, 12 companies that my customer wants me to penetrate, and I will start at the first company. I will go to the internet, find a little bit of information, maybe go to LinkedIn, find anybody there that might hold the particular title that I'm looking for. Once I have two or three names, that's enough for me. I will pick up the phone at that point and call in and try to build out those groups or use the names I have it's called trampolining inside a company.
You know, Maureen, hold on. Somebody's cooking their lunch or something. Can that idiot get off the phone?
Sounds like somebody's in a car.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just
That's
lost two people.
There we go.
Well, you lost one of the right ones.
What did you do?
Go ahead.
Okay.
So you
all
start
right,
off
um,
with LinkedIn. You get a bunch of names. Then what
no,
do you do?
No, you don't need a bunch of names. I mean, you can spend hours.
Okay.
Two or three names,
okay.
You know, off maybe the internet or
right.
off LinkedIn. Call in. Use those names. Go directly at those names. Talk to people around those names, their administrative assistant, the manager, whoever might know these people. And work those names to build out their groups. That's how I do it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Does he know what to say to those people? No. He doesn't know anything about sourcing. Am I right?
About phone sourcing?
Yeah.
I've actually been on Marine's site and have learned some of the tricks, but yes, I need to learn a lot more, and that comes with experience.
Nobody else is saying anything. Should we walk him through it? If he's going to
no,
call
because I've got
people?
A couple questions here in chat. But what I would suggest you do is go to the magicmethod.ning.com site. We've been having chats since April, twice a week, and there's a tremendous amount of information contained in those chats about telephone sourcing. A lot of the tips and techniques that would help you.
So, Maureen, okay. Is that what you're doing? You're having this show so you can point someone there without telling them here what to do?
Absolutely.
Well, to be fair, that's how I found out about this this chat, so that's
is
good.
Is it good? Okay. Yeah. But there's a lot of information there. And if you want, you can always take my course, the Magic Method course. That'll help.
Yes,
I got to say, Maureen, you're puzzling me. I mean, this is your chance to tell the guy we find. Listen, buddy, can I know your first name?
Sure, it's Eric.
Eric, just don't
Eric,
go away,
you're from
okay?
Massachusetts, right?
Yes, but I'm actually out in Oregon. We have an office in Massachusetts.
Okay, you called last week or the week before. Okay, I remember.
But hold on,
you.
Eric. Don't hang up yet, because we might need you in a second if she's got nothing to talk about, okay?
You got it.
Stay put. Okay, Maureen, handle the chat questions. Go ahead.
Okay, Vicki Lauder is asking. She's her client wants a – she has a client who wants a consultant that works in the consulting supply chain – with healthcare provider background, consulting supply chain with health. Vicki, what I would say to you is, does your client have a list of companies that he wants you to go into, that he would like to see people out of? You need to get your client involved in this, because he is most likely to know, he or she is most likely to know the space, which companies would have these people with this particular type of healthcare provider background. Have you done that yet?
McKesson, Perot.
Exactly, but...
Maureen?
Yes?
You know, you can't always go to your client. They're not always going to give you the information. You have to know what directories or how to do a search.
Okay, so Vicki has done that, she's saying in chat. So, Vicki, you have a list of companies, correct?
This is
weird. I guess
you
can't talk on the chat. Can you open her up?
Should I tell you what she should do?
Go
pretty
ahead.
Obvious. But you go to Hoover's. Find the companies, right?
She has that. She said that they have done that.
So then tell Maureen, the people call in so you can tell them how to call the receptionist, how to say the right words, who to ask for in the company. They want you to walk them through a sourcing process. Why am I having to pull this out of you? You've been through it a few times.
I guess it has something to do with the chat.
Say, just give her a little feedback, all you guys listening here on the couch. Say, yes, Maureen, that's
well,
what
somebody
we
threw
know.
Out a couple companies before, McKesson being one of them. I don't know if this is going to be a geographically limited search. Many times people, especially these days, they don't want to relo. I'm looking for her answer on that.
You know what? Tell Vicki to call in, okay? And I'll look
Vicki,
for tell us
Vicki,
her area
can
code.
You call in? It would be much easier to communicate this if you called in.
It's absolutely essential. This
because
is
I don't have enough. I don't have enough information to answer.
Yeah, okay. Let's come back to you. You've got Eric here. He's begging you to help him.
Eric, go
help
ahead.
Him.
Eric?
Yes?
What are you doing now? You have a sourcing department, and you guys are doing internet sourcing? And you want to
yes,
take it to the next step?
I'm the director of sourcing. I do all the internet sourcing. And, you know, we're using social networks and using, the boards and the search engines. But we want to get to that next layer, those people that aren't there. And I read some of your examples on your site that you've run into, and yeah, that's the type of recruiting that I want to get involved with. It sounds exciting, a lot more exciting than looking at resumes all day.
Mm-hmm.
And we really want to tap into that talent pool.
Okay.
But you know, now we're
you
want to
tap into the
it.
Hidden talent pool.
Correct.
Okay. And what percentage do you think is hidden behind closed doors?
Well, I think according to something I read on your site the other day, it was 90%.
Well, that's what I peg it at.
Yeah.
90% of the people that are inside companies are not on the Internet, therefore they're not findable on the Internet. Now, just in the last couple of days on the chats, I'm getting some blowback on that, and I hope that person calls back in or comes back to chat tomorrow so we can talk about that. But I do not believe that the majority of candidates can be found on the Internet. You have
sure.
to call in to those companies in order to find them, and it's the
okay,
only
Maureen,
way to find them.
Maureen,
mm-hmm.
Look, what's happening today?
He's a believer.
Were you smoking some kind of dope before you got on the show? You got 10 minutes. Walk this guy through a search. That's what he wants. Hold his hand.
Eric, yes. Tell me what your search is. Tell me what one of your searches is right now. We'll make Animal happy.
Let's do a consulting partner with Microsoft technology experience, but I can't pull them out of Microsoft.
Okay. Do you know what companies will have that type? This is very high level.
Very high level.
Correct. Right. Do you know what types, what companies will have people with Microsoft experience inside of them?
Sure. You know, there's that, there's a Accenture-Microsoft alliance called Avanade. Since they're not working directly with Microsoft, I can pull people out of that. So Getty has those types of people.
Okay. What department are they in?
Department. The specific business unit that these people would be
right.
in.
Right. Who would they report up to?
Usually, in my clients, they would report to the head of the business unit, and that would be high tech.
High tech. Okay. So they would report to the the chief technology officer.
No, they would report to the vice president of high tech business unit.
Okay. I would on a search like that, I would start at the top. I would call the VP's executive assistant. And I would very simply say to her, I would repeat her name, and if you read the Magic Method chats, you'll hear me say this time and time again. Identify yourself. When you do that, you're removing the mystery. Just tell her your name. Do not tell her where you're from. Just say, hi, this is Eric. I'm trying to reach the you're calling the executive assistant to the VP. Excuse me. You're calling the executive assistant to the VP of the business unit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her that you're trying to reach the director, and can she point you in that direction? Just keep
Maureen,
it very simple.
How do you
know.
Get rid of the executive VP's admin assistant? How do you get the receptionist to send you to her?
Say that again.
First, you have to get through to the executive admin for that senior officer, right? How do you get through to that person?
Okay. Call the main number.
Yep.
You know who the business unit head is, correct? You know who the
correct.
VP is. It's usually listed.
That's what I'm trying to get a hold of.
Yeah, these big companies, they usually have them listed online.
Sure.
You call the main number. The receptionist answers, and you say, this is Eric. Can you please transfer me to Joe Blow's office?
Sure.
And she'll say, just a moment. And you say, before she sends you off, you'll say, whatever her name is, say, before you send me to his office, and in case he's not in, does he have an executive assistant? And she might say something back to you like, oh, yeah, that's who I'm sending you to because he doesn't take direct calls. Great. Well, can you tell me her name? And she'll usually tell her name. And ask for one more question. Say, and in case I get disconnected, can you give me her direct dial?
Okay.
All right. Now, it gets complicated from here because there are reasons why you want each piece of that information. You want to know who her name is so when she answers, if she doesn't say her name, you can say, Judy transferred me to you. She did. The receptionist transferred me to you, you to her. I'm trying to reach the director of whatever it is, the business unit. Can you point me in that direction? Animal, did I answer the question?
Well, how did you get Judy's name?
Judy's the receptionist that answered the phone at the main number.
Yeah, she doesn't necessarily say her name.
They usually do.
You don't ask for it, right?
No, I never ask for names. If they don't say them, I just let it go by.
Okay. So.
But I always identify myself.
So he's on the phone now with the executive admin, right?
Yes, he's on the phone now with the executive admin to the VP. And he asks for, let's say her name is Marie.
Yep.
She answers, and he says, Marie, hi, this is Eric. Judy transferred me to you. I'm trying to reach the director of whatever business unit. Can you point me in that direction? If you approach
you're assuming that's the next person down the ladder. Am I right?
I am assuming.
Is that
and
Eric?
Some,
is that a
some
fair
of phone sourcing is assumption.
Eric, is that a fair assumption?
Sure. Yes, it is. I'm following along nicely here.
Okay. And so, Maureen, if she says, well, Eric, what do you want to talk to Mr. Jones for?
Oh, why do you always go into that black hole? They don't very, very rarely do they say that.
Okay.
Very rarely do they say that. And if you approach it with that fear in your head, she's going to hear it. She's going to hear that fear in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
What's your best tip on how to handle that, though, Maureen?
Okay, when she says what?
What does this concern? Why are you calling? I mean, it's a black hole. You got to be able to handle it.
Exactly. My fallback response And it might sound stupid at this level, and I don't care, because if I'm sensing that I'm not going to get anywhere with her, all I want to do is get off the phone, because there's always another way in. But my fallback is I'm working on a mailing list. I am working on a mailing list. I'm working on a mailing list that I'm assembling that I'm going to send to my customer.
Okay.
So that would be my fallback.
And if she asks
and
you
sometimes if you just tell her something very simple like that, it's enough to satisfy her curiosity when it does arise, which it very rarely does. And she'll just pass you along.
Well, now, you know that one of my cardinal rules is I don't lie, but there's nothing wrong with saying Bob is a personal friend of mine. It's a personal matter.
I wouldn't go there, but, you know, I'm not saying you should, you know, you shouldn't. I'm not condemning you if you do. I just wouldn't be comfortable with it. It probably wouldn't sound right coming from me.
Okay, so Maureen, let's say you actually get off the phone with her because you say your first reaction when you see you're not going somewhere is to get off the phone.
Is get off the phone, yeah.
And find another channel. What's your next channel then?
I will look at the other business. All right, this is a very helpful hint. I will look at the other business units because at companies like these that have these are large companies, they have several different business units. I'll go to another business unit because many times these girls know each other. These executive assistants that support these VPs to the different business units, if they're all at one location, many times they'll know each other. And I'll call and I'll ask for another business unit's name again, and then same drill. Before you send me, can you tell me his executive assistant's name, and I'll get that, and then I'll call her, and then I'll work her for the names of the other business unit.
Okay, so
the best rebuttal I've heard to what's it about is it's about last night.
Yeah, right.
It's about what?
It's about last night.
Underwear in my car.
About last night.
The gatekeeper's interest all of a sudden wanes.
She goes pale.
I'll pat you right over.
Just a moment.
You're working always down on this guy's search, right?
What'd you say?
You're working down from the top?
I work down from the top, yes.
But that's because, like, I don't even understand the title that he's searching. Eric, what title is that again?
It's a consulting partner. You know,
what does that mean? It's like a partner in a consulting firm?
Yeah, it's more of the partner for the client, more business strategy, go-to-market strategy.
Like someone like we just talked to, like Josh Kahn? I don't know if you heard that. He's a guy who's in place at the client doing consulting. This isn't a regular consultant. Is that right?
That's this type of consultant, full-time employed by,
he's just looking for a consultant, Maureen. He's not looking for a manager.
No, well,
right, but I'm looking for someone inside of a consulting firm.
That's
yeah,
right.
He's looking for a partner, he said.
No,
and that's usually
that's a phony name, like associate.
Well, I was going to make that remark. They may not be called that at all these different companies, and you have to ferret out what they're called. And one good
right.
way to do that is LinkedIn, you know, to call and just look at their titles in a broad overview.
Okay, but Maureen, let me...
But when you say partner, you're usually talking about somebody that heads up the
Okay, so,
the
Maureen,
team.
Let's, for theory's sake, just so that people get, because we're going to end soon, so they get a picture. So let's say you got through to the director. What's the next step?
Okay, I don't want to get through to the director, but I want to know who the director is, because the director might be who he's looking for.
Right.
That might be the partner, the consulting partner. Am I correct, Eric?
Maureen, you misunderstood what he's looking for, but we're going to go with your misconception and follow it to the end so the show has some coherence. You take your lead from me now, okay? Now you're looking for the partner in a consulting firm. So
okay. You
talk to the top person's executive assistant. You ask for the director, whom you assume is the next person down. There might be a few partners here. How are you going to get their names? That's what I want to know.
Okay.
Those are usually on the net, though, I have to tell you.
What'd you say?
Those partner-level people are usually on the Internet, but let's say they're not.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
They're not – okay. I don't want to talk to the director. I want to talk to his administrative assistant. Usually at this lower level, she's called an administrative assistant.
Okay.
She's younger than the executive assistant. She's
right.
not as well paid as the executive assistant. But I essentially approach her the same way. However, I will say to her, I will use the executive assistant's name to the one level up. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Let's say her name is Meredith. Meredith, Marie gave me your name. What happens when I say that? I command Meredith's attention because Marie is one level up from her, the executive assistant, to the executive level over her, the people or the person that she supports.
Right. And what are you going to say to her?
All right, and then I'll say, Meredith, I'm trying to reach the consulting partner for, and I'll pull something specific out. Again, I don't know enough about this particular search, but Eric, can you help me out here?
Sure. What I missed the question that you were going
to
ask her.
She doesn't know who to ask for. Let's imagine she's looking for a partner in a consulting firm with this Microsoft experience. What would that person be called?
They could be called a client executive, an engagement manager, senior consultant.
So we're down into individual contributor levels now at this point.
Yeah, so no, we're not there yet, but that's what he actually wants. But we're talking about a managerial person. He's not giving you the kind of name. But we can imagine, Maureen, that you know the name of the person you're looking for, right?
Okay. Let's imagine that I know a couple of the names, because you're right. Some of these people will be online.
You know the names. You know the titles. You know the titles you're looking for.
Okay, I know the titles, but I also know a couple of the names because it's likely a couple of the names in that group will be online.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The greater percentage won't be, but I use the couple names that I do have.
This is the last point for today.
Okay. I will say to the executive or to the administrative assistant, I'm trying to reach so-and-so, and I'll give her the name. Can you connect me? And she'll say, now, Animal, you know this drill. And she'll say something to the effect, just a moment. And I'll say, before you connect me, can you give me his phone number in case I get disconnected? Sometimes she will, sometimes she won't. The reason I want the phone number is in the event that I'm reduced to it, I will call in and I will call around that number. Sometimes people in groups will sit together. It's not as common as it used to be, but sometimes it works, you know, where they all sit next to each other. Their extensions might be 4617, 4618, 4619. Are you following me, Eric?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so that's why I want that information. And then I will allow her to send me off to that person. Again, remember, I don't want to talk to that person. Chances are I don't have to talk to that person because 8 out of 10 calls, transfers, end up in what? Voicemail.
Yep.
So when I hit voicemail, I will zero out. What I mean by that is I will hit zero, and sometimes that will take me back to her desk. More often than not, though, it will disconnect me entirely, especially in these big companies, and I'll have to call back in and start the process over. So I will go, I will ask her for Meredith. I will call the main number, and I will ask for Meredith, and I will say, Meredith, I got his voicemail. Is there anyone else in that department we might try, in your department, in your group, we might try? And at that point, I'm kind of holding my breath because I'm testing her to see how far she'll take me, if she will, in fact, take me deeper into the group.
You might try them for what, Maureen? You're telling
what?
Her you're going to try them for what? You don't say, right?
No. I'm trying to reach. She knows I'm trying to reach because I asked her to transfer me before.
Yeah, but you were looking for a certain kind of person, and so now you're asking to be transferred to someone else. Why would she send you there?
She doesn't. It's a good question, and logically, one would think that, but she doesn't usually think that way. She just sends me off into another person's voicemail, generally. Again, 8 out of 10 transfers, I will end up in someone's voicemail.
And so you're using the voicemails to get the names? Is that the idea?
Yes, and every time she transfers me, I write down that name, I type that name down, and I also, remember, I ask her before she transfers me if she will give me their number in case I get disconnected. And then if I start to see a pattern emerge where, you know, one guy is 4617 and another is 4620, I might start stabbing in between 4618, 4619, just direct dialing to see who I hit.
And
this is very time-consuming. What?
I noticed when someone picked up your phone, you kind of seemed confused that you got patched over to this person. Was that one of the things I saw on your site?
Yeah, you might say, oh, I was trying to reach. I'm sorry, I'm sure I have the wrong number. Can you direct me? Yes, you probably did see that at the site.
Okay.
Okay, I'm willing to wrap it up now, Maureen. Anything else that you want to tell Eric?
Well, just a
no,
quick question.
I mean,
how many times can you...
You're asking for with... nuts to bolts.
And what is it, Eric?
Oh, that wasn't
how many
me,
times
Eric.
Can you bounce back to zeroing out on the average?
How many times can... As long... As many times as she'll put up with you. Usually
right.
By
well,
the
what's
third...
kind of an average, though, for you?
3 to 4 times,
okay.
I would say average. Sometimes I've gone back as many as 5, 6, 7 times, but usually by the sixth or seventh time, she's pretty fed up. But 3, 4, or 5 times would be an average. With
thank
three
you,
or four.
Eric, for having some guts. Thank you, the guy who asked about that's a weird question with the...
That's a good question.
Hey, Maureen, do
that's
you
a
have on
question.
Your magic methods thing to call before lunch, during lunch, and after lunch because you usually get different receptionists?
Say that again.
If you're going to be sourcing through the receptionist, if you call before lunch, during lunch, and after lunch, you usually get different people.
That's true.
Somebody is covering.
That's true. If you can't get anything from the receptionist before lunch, try doing the noon hour because she'll be covering for the regular.
Exactly.
And that's the last point of the day. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
All right.
Cannon through the bathroom.